Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For Johnny Newton, I mean, obviously the wasn't the sole mistake in the game, but coming off that one at the end of the game, what is sort of your message to him just to keep his confidence up and go, especially going into a short
Yes. You know, that's a scenario on that one where we call it, you know, do they even have a play up, you know, to work the cadence? But, man, we have so much belief and love for this guy. And so it was a hard mistake. It was one to learn from. And as it goes, those are hard ones. Like you said, there's other plays in the game that come up. That one just, you know, happened to showcase it more at the end. And, you know, for sure, this is the type of player that is hurting from it and going to learn from it.
That was Dan Quinn yesterday after a loss to the Steelers, asked about Johnny Newton jumping off sides on what would have been a 4th-and-1. If he doesn't jump off sides there, the Steelers almost certainly burn a timeout, then punt, pin Washington deep, and they've got over a minute to try to go 40 or 50 yards to get into field goal range. Call me crazy. I think they have a decent chance to do that with Jaden Daniels at quarterback and the way that they've operated at the end of games this season. They never got a shot because Newton jumped off sides. It's a bad play. I think way too much has been made about that one play. I understand that it is fairly unacceptable, and I get that it's the very end of the game, so there's some recency effect there. There are 10 plays every bit as bad as that one that led to the loss, and I think we're zeroed in really on that one because it happened last.
Interesting. My pushback is I distinguish between other guy makes a play on you, and that's a bummer, versus controllable, fixable, easy things. That's an easy thing. Like that to me is one that has to just be uniform. If their guy who's good pushes you and Najee Harris barrels forward and inches forward for a first down, you tip your cap. But like the don't jump off sides and Mike Tomlin whispers to the referee, I'm gonna call a timeout if the guys don't jump off sides, clear as day, anybody should have been looking for that. Like that to me is controllable. I fault controllable a lot more than I fault, you know, you got beat. You got bested.
What I'm talking about is dropping passes. That's controllable. You know, mental versus
me too.
Physical
That's what I'm saying.
Would be the discrepancy. So I think then we're saying the same thing then. What I'm saying is like him jumping off sides while on the list is not a larger reason as to why they lost, in my opinion, than, hey, if you catch that football, you're in field goal range now, Noah Brown. Hey, if you catch that ball on that cross or if you're Zach Ertz, you do your job. Like Johnny Newton's mistake, while a really young guy being asked to play, you're going to get some of those really bad play, no doubt about it, is in, you know, trying to do too much, so to speak, which is not all that different than the guy dropping a pass. And there were 10 plays across the whole game that if you just do your job correctly, if you just do the thing you're supposed to do, if Jaden Daniels, who's been money all season long with wide open guys, just hits Luke McCaffrey, who is naked open, just absolutely butt naked open and doesn't throw it way over his head, it's a different football game. And so I'm not going to do the like, oh, Johnny Newton cost you the game. No, they would have had to punt. You would have had to get the ball to 5. You would have had to go 55, 60 yards without timeouts. Still a very, very tall order at that point. We're taking you up to 6:30. Jay Gruden joins us at 5. I want to look at the week ahead for us and the team in just a moment. Then we're going to hit the phones. But Washington is building a foundation for success. We've seen that. It is time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Kondori & Murad. They're going to help you update your last will and testament. They're going to set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Here's our road ahead. So I mentioned right off the top, Eckler's going to join us tomorrow. Sounds like that is actually changing because of their schedule out in Ashburn.
Yeah, this is not a regular week. Tuesday's normally the off day. It's the opposite of that. They got a game.
We're going to have Eckler on Wednesday closer to the show. So it's going to be Wednesday on Grant and Danny. You'll hear from Austin Eckler. You and I on Thursday are getting on a train. First thing in the morning, we're going up to Philly. We're going to do the show live from Philadelphia. And then I believe the last I heard was we are going to be sitting in the crowd with all of those crazy people at Lincoln Financial Field to watch the Commanders and the Eagles.
Here we go.
Now, why we're doing this, I'm not exactly sure. But we are doing it, and I hope no one purposefully tries to pull a trigger and throw up on us. Because they do that sometimes. They like to vomit on people that they don't like in Philadelphia or throw batteries at them. But we will be there in Philly at the Link watching the game on Thursday. Hopefully the Commanders get a win. Then we are going to get on a train first thing Friday morning, win, lose, or draw. And we are coming back to D.C. We're getting off the train and we're going right over to Silver Spring, Maryland, because our Friday field trip is at Third Hill Brewing Company off of Georgia Avenue in Silver Spring.
It's an awesome spot, by the way. I did a stand-up show there years ago.
No way.
Yeah, it is such a cool venue. You almost like can't believe it's this oasis in that kind of like that urban Silver Spring spot. It's like this all the space. It is a cool spot.
This is our first ever show appearance in Silver Spring. And I was talking to someone at the station here today. They said, as a station, we have not been to Silver Spring in years and years.
Years.
So very excited to see what kind of listening base shows up out there. Ideally, it'll help if the Commanders win, but either way, we will either comfort you or celebrate with you on Friday. All that is to say, Danny, it's going to be a busy week for your boys.
We're ootin' to boot. You know, I mean, we're making plays. We're doing some things. We've got to rearrange on the fly. This Thursday schedule just throws a wrench in all the gears. So everything is just magnified, and it's like, you don't have time to lick your wounds. You're already prepping for a game 72 hours from, like, pretty much right now. Like, that is not an easy ask for anybody. And oh, ho-hum, by the way, it's your biggest game of the season.
Let's get to the game balls and the gassers before we turn the page to whether or not yesterday was encouraging or discouraging. Let's go to Jermaine and Bowie on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, buddy.
I've got to give a game ball to Cliff Kingsbury. So we have T.J. Watt, who I think the stat I saw was zero sacks, zero tackles. And this is one of the best defensive linemen in the league. I mean, he chipped him. I saw Terry chip him a couple of times. Eckler chipped him a couple of times. You know, we may have struggled the other defensive linemen, but we did a really good job with the backup tackle, T.J. Watt. So that's all scheme on that one.
100%. Yeah, I mean, he still had an effect on the game. Hit the quarterback a couple of times, talking about Daniels. Had that one play late in the game where he's, you know, beats his man, gets Daniels' arm, doesn't allow a pass to be completed. So even without wreaking havoc and ruining everything, still made his presence known in a huge moment.
He was quiet in the first half, I would say. And then I would go as far as to say he was not really much of a factor through three quarters.
Agreed.
I thought he turned up the heat big time in the fourth quarter.
Smell blood in the water there.
When Washington had that drive in the end zone, he annihilated Jaden Daniels on the third down.
He got held a little bit. Could have been called.
Oh, he definitely got held on one of those plays that was not called, no doubt. But he crushed him on one of those plays. And then you mentioned he hit his arm. He hit him twice in the game. And he also had a batted ball that was almost intercepted. Remember the play where he almost picked off the batted pass?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
So it wasn't like he didn't do anything. He was certainly noticeable and impactful. They had to basically build their entire plan around him. It was funny because when he first said, I got to give a game ball to Cliff Kingsbury, I was thinking, well, this is one of the first times all season where he wouldn't be on my game ball list because offensively, it was 4.1 yards per play and 182 net passing and 60 net rushing. It was pretty ugly offensive performance. But he's right. I mean, they did. Like, before the game, I would have said T.J. Watt's going to have 2-plus sacks, hit Jaden Daniels 4 or 5 times. And they did an awesome job on him at the expense maybe of some other areas of their offense. But they did what they had to do to keep him.
In other words, we have a chance elsewhere. If he gets off, then it means there's it's beyond negative stuff. It's fumbles.
Over.
Yeah, your whole offense is
ruined.
We've
seen him against good offenses this year take over.
100%.
What he did to the Falcons.
Yep.
Everyone thought the Falcons were going to be terrible after week one. It was basically just T.J. Watt had an amazing
game. They couldn't block that guy.
And they're now the seventh best offense in the league or whatever. Let's go to Spencer in Nashville on G&D. What's up, Spencer?
My game ball is going to Terry McLaurin. 5 targets, caught all 5 catchable targets, over 100 yards, had half of Jaden Daniels' passing yards. He's the SEAL Team 6 of this team. He just comes through. He's super reliable all the time. My gasser is going to Newton. I know you were trying to minimize it, Grant, and trying to say that, you know, it wasn't the key pivotal play of the game. I disagree. I think when you combine that with the fact that he only had 3 tackles in the game and you jump off sides in the fourth quarter and put the final nail in the coffin, I mean, he ought to be doing suicides all day on Tuesday for that. So that's my gasser, and that's my game ball.
Yeah, so I got no issue if you want to give a gasser to Johnny Newton. That's a really, really bad play. I'm just saying if that play happens in the second quarter, nobody's really talking about it. Frankie Louvu, 1 week earlier, on a N5, jumped off sides, as an example, early in the game. And it continued a drive where I think a touchdown was scored. And they won the game, so it's a little bit different, obviously. But it never got brought up one time. Louvu is my guy. He's probably my favorite player on the defense. But I just think it's time and place. Life's about timing. And it happened on a fourth and a couple of feet at the end of the game and prohibited you from getting the ball back. And that's why it's viewed as, like, why you lost the game. Let's go to Cali out in California. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man? Thanks for taking my call. I got one quick – I actually called in to B. Mitch and Finley earlier, and I commented on I felt that Jaden Daniels missed Luke McCaffrey out of the end zone late in the game. And Brian B. Mitch said, he's all, you better take a look. That was right in his hands. So
I think he's thinking of another play. There was – he dropped the ball. Brian might be talking about on the sideline. That was a McCaffrey drop, but I'm guessing he's talking about that. But, yeah, there's really no doubt about it. I mean, there was a wide-open streaking McCaffrey going, like, from the end zone to the left on the TV screen to the right.
Yeah.
Where on a third down, and it might have been a second and long.
It was just, I think it was second down.
Second, man, yeah. That would have been the first down, and
it might have been a touchdown.
Our end zone.
Yeah, it might have been 98-yard touchdown.
So that was just, I want to give an honorable mention to Zane Gonzalez. He did his job,
Yeah.
All three extra points and 2 field goals. He did his job.
I was super worried going into the game because you didn't have your kicker, had been automatic, and you were going with a guy who hadn't kicked in 3 years, which seemed like an odd decision to me, that the kicking thing would rear its head. And then, lo and behold, his first kick is from 48, which I think, to this point, Seibert has maybe tried 3 kicks from that.
Does he have one from that deep?
Like, where are all the 25 and 30 and 35 yarders that he's been kicking the entire time? Football's just funny in that way. But yeah, for him to have gone out and booted that field goal and on the game, to have made another 41-yarder later, which sounds like, it's a nothing burger, but I mean, see how many times guys have missed from 40. I mean, Younghoe Koo yesterday missed 3 kicks. The 49ers kicker, Jake Moody, that they drafted, I think he's out of Michigan. He missed 3 kicks yesterday, and Debo Samuel is trying to swipe at him in the long snapper on the sideline. So for Gonzalez, with the weight of the world seemingly on his shoulders there, to go out there and make those 2 boots, he gave him exactly what they needed.
Yeah, made every makeable kick. That's all you can ask when your regular kicker is healthy. You know what I mean? Pretty impressive.
I do wonder, by the way, if he's going to be in a place where he's got to kick again on Thursday, or if they feel like there's enough progress being made where Seibert could kick. Same thing with B-Rob. Sounded like he was trending in the right direction after the game. Dan Quinn said he may have turned a corner. But I did ask Dan Quinn after yesterday's tilt. I said, were any of the decisions you made with Robinson, Wiley, Seibert, based on basically Thursday being more important than this? Out of conference versus in division, first place on the line? And he said, absolutely not. It was just based on today. Can these guys go or not? So if you take him at his word, Marshawn Lattimore, all these injuries, not all that telling necessarily. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chris?
What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, bud.
By the way, I think the referees could have called Russell Wilson for simulating the snap on that final play. It's not something they call very often, but he clearly flinched, which drew him off.
They call it so occasionally, and always when it like screws your team only. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only time. But you're right. It is a very, very rare call that you never see.
If you watch the replay, though, his body clearly tenses. Like, and that's supposed to be the rule, the law, letter of the law. Anyway, game ball to Jaden Daniels for playing a tough game. It wasn't his best game by any means, but I felt like he played well enough for them to win. Also, I thought Mike Sanders still had a really great game. Gassers to Zach Ertz, who is averaging 2.4 yards after catch, which is literally like one body length, meaning he just falls down, and that's how many yards he gains. Also, gassers to the Northwest grounds crew for, like, the worst field I've seen in about 10 years.
A lot of slipping
in that
one,
sure,
yeah.
If they know.
So I've heard a couple people say this. I did not notice that. What were people seeing on TV in that regard? Just players sliding or falling over? Or
it looked like 90 errors RFK in about November. Like, it looked like – and players were slipping all game.
I will ask guys, I've been talking to them about the surface throughout the season, and they've all been extremely complimentary. Now, I don't know if yesterday was aesthetically worse than how it played, or if they would say, yeah, yesterday was bad. But it seems like whatever changes they made before last year, because they dug up 2 feet of ground, mm-hmm. redid everything, it's been way, way better.
But it seemed like a less secure track yesterday.
Yeah, it's certainly possible that they had a bad go of it yesterday, and that the tide is turning there. It's also, we've talked about this, everyone wants to go to natural grass. It's hard to grow grass here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, drought isn't great. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's just, you want to go natural grass, you're going to have games where the grass stinks. But anyway, go ahead, Chris.
Well, one final gasser to, again, the Lions judge. I don't know. One little minute detail. After they reviewed it for what seemed like an interminable amount of time, they then placed it another yard ahead of where it should have been. Like, I don't know if anyone noticed that, but when Pittsburgh got the ball back, it was at the 42 instead of the 41, which made no sense. So, like, not only did they get the spot wrong, but then when they placed it and gave it back to the team, they added another yard.
Yeah, Danny acknowledged that, I think.
I just, it was baffling to me. So the initial spot, and again, this, it's not about whether, you know, where the ball was marked. It's if it's a first down or not. And they go, well, it's not a first down. We're just going to let this bad spot stand. Where the guy came jogging in from an angle, not right down the line at the first down marker, comes jogging in from 7 yards back, making a nice little hypotenuse to the triangle there, and just sort of marks it, and they go, well, this is way short, so they review it. And they just left it at the bad marker. There is no way that was the right spot. And I'm always amazed. And by the way, no one talks about this either. The second touchdown Russell Wilson threw, the play clock was at zero. Again, you got to cover somebody. You got to cover Pat Freiermuth, but the play clock was at zero.
Stale zero or
yeah,
zero?
Zero. I mean, it was zero, then the snap.
People do this all the time where it's like, it was at zero. Like, yeah, it's allowed to be at zero. It's a full second at zero before they whistle. So are you saying it was that?
I'm saying the clock was at zero,
yeah,
and they could call a penalty. What should happen is the zero should hit, and there should be a buzzer, and now we all know. But they just sort of seem like, well, my eyes took too long to go from the zero to the snap.
So the rule is it needs to be a full second at zero, basically. Like, that you are allowed to get the snap off at zero. So those images you'll see of the freeze frame of clock says zero and the snap are not always necessarily completely illegal. Although I'm with you, it seems like zero is zero.
See, it seems like this multi-billion-dollar industry where they're asking me to wager on games and there's a lot of money changing hands and, like, contracts are made and playoffs and things like that. We should probably be more accurate than let's just see what this guy that wasn't really that close thinks the ball was.
Let's go to Jim in Richmond on Grant and Danny listening on AM 910 FM 105.1. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Come in.
So I'm going to start with my guesser because I believe in starting with bad news first. The officiating crew, I thought it was bad. And honestly, like, I don't want to be a homer, but there were – I just didn't know what the rules were the entire time. There was one point when I was sitting down with my wife when Daniels pulled – like, got it. Like, he was in the shotgun in – like, behind our five-yard line, and the back judge threw a flag for a hold on our center. And I was like, what –
oh,
I didn't
that
see
was
anything there,
weird.
But,
yes, that was
yeah.
So late. They had another one just like that, by the way, when the Steelers had the ball near their own goal line. I think Najee Harris ran the ball for like 9 yards. And, like, I'm not joking. Like, after he was tackled 10 yards downfield, this flag comes from the secondary out of nowhere, and they call a hold on the center. And I didn't think the guy held at all. I'm guessing they announced the wrong number.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
But for game ball, I got to go with the defensive line. I mean, like, Newton – that was a tough mistake. And like it hurt. You could tell it hurt him, but the defense picked him up on it. They instead of like letting him cry, they were all like patting him up and giving him a
love. You know. That, mm-hmm. Jim. Thank you for the call, buddy. The brotherhood shticks a lot, and I still want to do the thing. I don't know if I mentioned this to you yet. I thought about this last week. I want to do like a brotherhood alert, where whenever we hear the word brotherhood in a press conference or on a broadcast or something, we fire the brotherhood alert, because it's the most used term in Commanders football at this point. But like, you want to know what that's about?
Yeah, it's what it looks like.
It's the Johnny Newton thing, where like he makes the mistake and everyone's patting him on the shoulder and giving him a hug. Meanwhile, Dateline, San Francisco, where like Jake Moody's missed three field goals and Deebo Samuel's trying to punch him in the face.
Yeah, he's going to throat chop on the long snapper.
The long snapper, I guess, just caught shrapnel because he like stepped in because he's like harassing the kicker.
Yeah.
And then he's like swinging at the long snapper. Wild. Coop, DC, what's good?
Hey, so my game ball has to go to Sheldon Day and Jeremy Chin. They both played great games. Sheldon Day's been very quiet throughout the season, I think. Like, ever since Jonathan Allen went out, he stepped up big time. And Jeremy Chin, yeah, had two turnovers, I think. He had a pick and a fumble recovery, correct?
Yes, he did.
Yep.
And then for my gasser, it has to go to Benjamin St. Juice. I mean, I think he led up two touchdowns. I mean, that last Mike Williams touchdown, that was basically, I mean, that was a game-winning touchdown, right? And he had 10 yards of leverage off, and he still let up a fade touchdown. So I don't think it should be allowed.
You would be correct.
You would be correct there. That is the correct assessment, sir.
That is a great analysis. When you give up 10 yards of cushion, you should not get beat behind you, generally speaking.
Like, yeah, we don't really need safety help deep because you are deep. Ran right by
him. Phone call, buddy. Thank you for making it. 34% of snaps yesterday for Sheldon Day. I should say 34% of snaps so far this season when he's been active, and the percentages were up yesterday. He and the rest of that D-line, heavy rotation like a washing machine right mm-hmm. now. They're trotting everybody in and out, and they're trying to keep everybody fresh. Real quick, Daron Payne early in the game was awesome.
You could see he jumped out a couple times.
First drive was like old-school Daron Payne. Where has that been for the last several weeks? He had two huge stops, including the third down way out near the sideline. I thought he was really good early and had some big moments, which we've been asking for, frankly, from him. Are you more encouraged or discouraged after yesterday's loss? Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jaden, I remember after the Tampa game that week, you told us that you don't like to lose when we asked you about bouncing back from it. Games like that, games like the Ravens game, this game, these losses, how much more do those motivate you in terms of what this team is trying to build bigger picture?
I mean, I don't like losing, so I don't want to feel like this feeling. I don't want to have losses. You know, I'm competitive. I want to win in everything I step foot and I put my mind to. So I wouldn't say it's any motivation. It's like, man, how can I go back to work and kind of get this feeling out of my system? That's win, lose, or draw. When we win, I want to keep winning. We lose, I don't want to lose. I want to win again. So I kind of have the same approach.
Jaden Daniels postgame yesterday. Grant and Danny welcoming you back. Jay Gruden is on the show at 5. We're 30 minutes away from a Beltway Blitz. We'll be covering the Commanders in the NFL as well as the Caps in our Blitz. By the way, 8 goals for the Capitals in their game in St. Louis on Saturday night, including 2 more from Alex Ovechkin.
That was patently absurd. So I tuned in like a few minutes after the start. It was already like, you know, it was a normal first period where they scored a couple of goals, and then they just like never stopped scoring. I felt a little bit bad, but not that much.
Ovi's got 10.
Casual.
They've played 14 games.
Yeah.
That is a 58-goal pace.
Ho-hum.
might be happening
just
this year.
Just the 40-year-old man ripping off a 50-year-old 50-goal pace.
Everybody said it'll be next year. It might be happening this year. But back to the Commanders. Are you encouraged or discouraged after a one-point loss? They led by 10. They were without two of their top three tackles and their running back one. The Steelers were off of a bye, 14-4, off of a bye under Tomlin. 8 straight years they've won off of a bye. That's a 7-2 Pittsburgh team. Danny, encouraged, discouraged?
Discouraged. Now, it doesn't mean I'm despondent. It doesn't mean we shouldn't play the rest of the games this season. It doesn't mean that my eye line has changed for this group. It was just some cold water. They haven't beaten a good team. The best team they've beaten is Arizona, who's now playing pretty good football since that game. I think they've won 4 straight in their own right. So
I wasn't even impressed with Arizona like at that point. I know they had the one really good win against
the Rams.
The Rams, too, hung 41. But they had lost to Detroit, really, really good. And they had lost to the Bills. I guess they had lost to 2 good teams and beaten the Rams as a 1-2 team going into that game.
But that's their signature win of the season, if there is one, which is kind of a bummer. It just sort of put some cold water and kind of put a wall between really ready to compete at the absolute highest levels the sport has to offer and the best of a pretty good bucket. I think they're in that second category. They're in the pretty good bucket. There's nothing wrong here. They're still way ahead of schedule. But to me, a little bit more discouraged that when it comes time to, you know, maybe playing some of the best teams, playoff time, you know, key December down the stretch games, they may not be ready to compete at the highest levels. And that's okay, by the way. Just, again, big picture. But your eye line, all the momentum was going in the opposite direction. Even when they were going to lose, they still won, see the Hail Mary. And that was kind of ripped away a little bit. So it took the air out of the balloon for me a little.
So I am discouraged only by the fact that this was the one time so far this year they've played a great defense. And it's also the one time their offense has really struggled. That's hard for me to make heads or tails of in a positive way. As someone will say, they scored 27 points. Well, 7 of those came after they got the ball at the 15 on the failed onside, not onside, but blocked fake punt.
Yep.
Take that out of the equation. Now it's 20 points. You look at those 20 points, they were mostly earned, right? I mean, you had a 71-yard drive before the McNichols 1-yard run. You had a 40-yard drive before a field goal. So you went normal distance of the field. You had a 94-yard drive before the half, which was awesome. But they also had a 19-yard drive to get a field goal in the second half. So I could make the case that 10 of the 27 points were special teams or defense-related via short fields, right? And so now it's a 17-point game. Do you feel that much better? Do you still feel great when you had only 240 yards, when you had your least effective game in almost every category of your 10 games so far offensively? And the two best defenses they've played, if you want to extrapolate that out a little more, are the Bears and the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And while the Hail Mary allowed them to win, they had 12 points against Chicago. They had moved the ball, to their credit, all game long. It was the opposite of kind of this game. They had no points, but they had a ton of yards. And I would almost prefer that, because then you say, well, we just didn't quite execute in the red zone, or you got to iron this part
out. Like that first Giants game or something.
If you're Kingsbury watching the tape, you go, we got to do this, this, or this, and that 62-yard drive is actually a touchdown, not a field goal. This, to me, is worse because you couldn't get it going. You had the 5-3 and outs. You had 9 of 11 drives where you had 25 or fewer yards. You had basically 2 good drives all game, essentially, not accounting for Steelers' penalties. So that's where I'm discouraged. But I think in the grand scheme of things, Danny, based on only losing by a point to a Tomlin-coached 7-2 Pittsburgh team off of a bye, with my tackle situation completely perilous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that should have and could have been disastrous to the point where you give up 6 or 7 sacks, a couple sack fumbles, and you lose by 16. Like, that's how a lot of teams handle yesterday.
Sure. And
they didn't, and I love that.
Yeah, me saying discouraged doesn't mean there aren't incredible positives to take out of that. I think you just touched on one, right? The fact that it wasn't this feeding frenzy at Jaden Daniels. He got hit and sandwiched and crunched and got knocked from the game because they couldn't protect for him. They were still able to run their offense. Now, you mentioned some of the disparities. They're usually on the other end of this. They got outpossessed by 13 minutes yesterday. That's what Washington does to teams when they're thumping it down your throat and everything works and they get every fourth down and most of the third downs. And you know, the fact that the running game was taken away, Jaden Daniels running was taken away. It seemed like, you know, there's a lot of third and longs and guys were plastered and covered and it was a little bit too tight against a really good defense. Knocks you down a little bit, but there are still way more positives overall, big picture. And you touched on some of them.
This is a good summary here from our former producer, Brendan Darr, who just tweeted me and said, can't imagine being discouraged. Team played its worst game in months and still almost won. That's how I feel. They made a ton of mistakes. They didn't play a clean game. They didn't even play that well, certainly on offense. and they scored upper 20s points and almost won a football game against an elite opponent. I'm encouraged by that and where they're at as a program. Let's go to Rory in Winchester on G&D. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Grant and Danny. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Good, good. Hey, I just basically feel like my encouraged or discouraged hasn't happened yet. It'll come in on Thursday. I think that depending on how they respond to this loss really dictates if they're as good as we hope they are or if they're similar to the old Commanders, Redskins, Washington football team.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Ben.
Now, I'll say this, Rory. I'm past that, I don't want to say narrative, but that referendum. Like, this is not the old thing. The old things weren't 7-2 ever. They weren't 7-3 ever. They didn't lose by 1 point to Pittsburgh when they didn't play that well to try to get to 8-2 ever. But, you know, it's your math, not mine, on that regard. So I get it. Everyone's going to have a different way that they're viewing this thing. Right now, 58% of people on a poll, several hundred responses so far, saying encouraged, 42% more discouraged. Let's go to Matt in South Riding on Grant and Danny. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
So I'm encouraged. I mean, we're going to win 11 games this season. We're going to make the playoffs. It's been a minute since we've won 11 games. We've got our quarterback of the future. Things are heading in the right direction. That having been said, can we please stop putting Zach Ertz into these games? Guy can't break tackles, gets no yards after the catch. A lot of the time he's having trouble catching balls when he's wide open. He's hard to watch at times. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. By a minute since they last won 11 games, he means 33 years.
I was going to say, that's a long minute in the scheme of the universe.
I was two, but he's on to something there. It has been a while. His Ertz point is well received around these parts.
Yeah, I want to see Ben Sinnott. That's where I'm at this point, right? If Zach Ertz was just, he was fending him off and there was no way that he could crack the lineup or he couldn't run any of those routes, I don't know. Ertz still has some value. I joke about it, but he does. He is helpful. I'm not saying cut him or send him into the stratosphere. I'm saying I'd like to see what a more athletic and nimble, maybe more powerful tight end could do with some of those footballs.
Yeah, I just want him to get some of those looks. I mean, there are probably a lot of snaps where Ben Sinnott is having to stay in to block, and he's good at that,
yes.
And I get that. I think Ertz can block too, by the way. But Ben Sinnott only played, like, I think it was 13, 15 snaps, something like that. I could look up the exact number. But it's not like he plays a ton anyway. So you can't convince me that you can't just occasionally put him in the Ertz role on snaps where he would otherwise be on the sideline and see if he could do a little more after the catch.
20% of snaps yesterday, 13 total.
Yeah, 13 snaps, 20%. It means 80% of the time he's watching like we are. I'd like to expand that role a little bit. He was a wrecking ball in the preseason. He was probably the hardest guy on the team to tackle. Ertz, respectfully, and this is not a knock, it's just by way of the numbers, has the hardest time probably breaking tackles on the team at this point. Let's go to Christian, who's in Alexandria. How are you?
Good, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Hey, so I'm a baseball fan, but I am encouraged by the season, by the game yesterday, and here's why. One, I definitely felt like there was a bunch of Angel Hernandezes running around the field and the officiating crew yesterday. I didn't know what was happening there. He came back in that way. But two, you know, I kept thinking about the specialist song, Greg Maddux, a little while ago. And the point I'm making here is there was a point early in, like, it was like 95, I think, where Greg Maddux just got rocked by a particular team and a particular specific player. And his catcher afterwards said, man, what are you doing? What are you were throwing weird pitches. What are you doing? No, I'm getting ready. This is a good team. I'm taking notes. We're going to see them in the playoffs again, and I'm going to own them when that time comes. And that happened, of course, right? 3 months later, they faced the same team in the playoffs. Greg Maddux owned them. Now, I'm not comparing the Washington Commanders to Greg Maddux, but the reason I'm encouraged is I think this team is going to take notes from this loss and apply those in the future. You've got a totally different mindset. You've got a different culture. You've got a different quarterback with a totally different perspective on what it means to be a team, to be a team leader. And I think that matters. And I think it's going to show and pay dividends here, a couple weeks from now, a couple months from now.
That's the idea. Those adjustments get made. You figure out what teams are doing to you, and you do something about it.
That's why Greg Maddux was the ultimate scientist.
Yeah. The story, by the way, was never throw an inside fastball to Jeff Bagwell. And then he calls one, and Eddie Perez goes, what are you doing? He goes, yeah, we'll see him in the postseason. He'll look for that, and I'll strike him out with changeups. And then he did.
And then he pulled it off.
Yeah, months later he did.
Just setting him up. Sometimes, if you can play with your food a little bit. You could do that when you're playing a team twice in short order.
Mm-hmm.
Like Washington doesn't have the luxury to do that with the Eagles. They got to just go win the football game and throw everything they got at them. But you could do that in the NFL occasionally. They're not at that point just yet. The Chiefs now, moving forward at 9-0, they might be able to do some of that, setting things up for down the road. 800-636-1067, you want to hop in. 59% of people are saying they were encouraged more than they were discouraged yesterday on the poll. You can go vote at Grant H. Paulson. You're listening to The Fan. The Beltway Blitz is coming up at the top of the hour in about 10 minutes. I do want to spin around the NFL, some big storylines after yesterday. Mentioned the Chiefs getting to 9-0 on a blocked field goal, Danny. Denver had them dead to rights, had them beaten. Great performance by Sean Payton, Bo Nix, and the Broncos. And then a 35-yard chippy gets blocked for the Chiefs. How do they keep getting away with it?
It's
to get to 9-0.
Bleeping believable.
The Bears are terrible. They got beat by 16. They scored 3 points. They didn't have a play longer than 12 yards. They were disgusting offensively. They've got to rip play calling duties away from Shane Waldron. They should have fired Matt Eber. Frankly, they, not to pat myself on the back, I've gotten a lot wrong. The fact that they had that guy, Matt Eberflus, and decided to stick with him when they had the number one overall pick is a joke.
Yeah, this one we both got. We're going, that's not a good decision.
I think everyone got this one but them.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Please hire somebody.
Ryan Pohl's going, watch how smart I am. The pudgy idiot saw it first.
Fire that guy. They didn't. They're going to change some things on offense, I'm sure. They'll have a new play caller. They are broken. Washington broke them with the Hail Mary, by the way. The Vikings were seeing Sam Darnold crash back down to earth in a big way. They won 12-7. Did you see any of that game?
That was so gross and frustrating.
Darnold threw 3 picks without a touchdown yesterday. He's turning the ball over a lot more. That's a great defense, though. 7-2 Minnesota, despite 12 points on 4 field goals. And that was with some short fields, too. Like, they got the ball on 3 Mac Jones turnovers yesterday around midfield and somehow never scored a touchdown.
Yeah, this isn't like, I don't know, it's not like you're playing Pittsburgh or Kansas City's defense, even. Jacksonville's reprehensibly bad on defense. Like, they're among the worst this sport has to offer. Their ranking is much better now. They're up to 27th in points allowed, for example. Like, they were as bad as you could possibly find, and that's what you turned in yesterday?
And ew. Speaking of crazy things, the Jets got eviscerated by the Cardinals. I'm really enjoying this. They're 3-7.
Mm-hmm.
They put all their eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket. Rodgers wants to go get Davante Adams, who dropped the touchdown at 31 yards yesterday on 13 targets. The Jets are terrible.
Yeah.
They're terrible. They're 3-7. They can't beat anybody right now.
All the point totals are like what happened with Zach Wilson. When we've been saying for years that this group is talented, they're a quarterback away, and now it's just the vibe is off. Everything looks bad.
And speaking of terrible, the Cowboys, man.
Oh, that's mean. Don't bring that up.
I feel for them and their fans. Wait, I'm being told I don't. They lost 34-6. Jim Nance was making fun of them and saying to put blooper music with some of their plays yesterday.
Yeah, after the Yankees losing the World Series, now this for those guys? That's tough.
Dak Prescott's hurt. The roster's just not that good around the quarterback position. Trey Lance threw an awful pick when he came off the bench. I mean, they stink out loud. Washington still gets to play them twice the rest of the way. So we'll dive into some of those storylines as we continue on G&D. Let's go rapid fire here as quickly as we can through some calls. Rodgers in Manassas, encouraged or discouraged after yesterday?
Hey, it's actually Andre Manassas, but I encourage. First
Andre,
of all,
what's up, buddy?
You know, I'm doing well. Bates in his, what do you call it, flow hawk. You know, you see him for like 3-4 years. I never really saw his face and saw his haircut. I'm like, man, this guy's on my team. Right on. Last but not least, you know, it's one of those things. I know they were doing college football a lot. A team plays each other 10 times, you know, you win. This is a 50-50 game, so you can't be.
Oh, you broke up there, buddy. Basically saying this is one of those toss-up games, and sometimes it goes bad.
Let's go to Colby in Falls Church on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, man, I'm a little discouraged. We're 0-3 against teams above 500. You know, if we want to be contenders, we want to, you know, start, you know, turn this franchise around. We got to beat good teams.
It's true. They're good teams they've played and lost to include the Ravens and the Steelers recently, and I'm guessing he's going with the Bucks as well, or what's the other game he's
referencing? So the Bucks were over 500 at that point. I mean, Arizona's over 500 now. Yeah.
So they weren't anything, I guess.
Right. So Arizona's over 500 now, but they weren't when Washington beat them. So. Yeah.
When they've played a team that was considered to be better than them or good, they have not won.
No, they've lost.
Let's go to Reggie in White Plains.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. First time caller, long time listener.
Oh, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah, I'm discouraged because I just think the guy, St. Juice, his IQ is not high. Because you got to know down and distance, I'd rather give up a first down than a touchdown. And if you watch the play, guys, he's flat-footed with his feet at the sticks for the first down, and the guy runs right by him. You can't give up six on that play.
Well, and to your point in terms of football IQ, and it's a good phone call, thank you, I don't think that's an issue for him. I think he's a smart player generally. However, he played him to run an 8 to 10 yard route on 3rd and 8. You have one of the best kind of moon ball, fade ball corner throwers in the league, and you've got a receiver who's made a living making that catch his entire career. I'm going to stack you up on my back and kind of go up and get the football leaping from the red zone, the strike zone area, like that was. You almost have to be expecting that. And if you give up a first down, doesn't sound good, but okay, then they got to still
it's better than the alternative.
Do something to score. You can't give up a touchdown and get beat there without
when
help.
You're that far off. I mean, to me, but the idea that Williams is going to be able to stop on a dime and turn around, he's a Mack truck in an alleyway doing a K-turn. You know what I mean? Like, if you could backpedal a little bit, still drive on the football and give yourself a chance there.
It's a good debut call onto the show, though. Thank you for making it. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next hour, I want to get into Dan Quinn sticking with Alameda Zacchaeus as a punt returner. Also, some of the bad breaks yesterday and whether or not there's anything we can learn from those. The Beltway Blitz is next right here on the Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.